Here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We are saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community. All right. Now, the mission here at the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show is to build strong businesses in our community so that we can put our people to work. And we do that with business development, job creation, and service. Now, if you ever find yourself at the business crossroads wondering which way to turn, I want you to turn yourself to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are a business development show. My name is Robert Gatewood, and I am your host, and I am going to be bringing you the good marketing gospel today. And we have a heck of a show today. I mean, we always have a heck of a show, but today we're going to get into some things that are going to get you ready for 2017, and we want to make sure you start this year on a good foot. And that's why, as always, we bring business development, we bring marketing, we bring finances, we bring legal, we bring everything it takes to make you successful in business. We take a holistic approach. So if you're sitting there getting ready for 2017 and you're wondering which way, what should you be doing? Folks, these are some different times. These are not like they say the old ad used to say, this is not your dad's Oldsmobile. Well, this is not your dad's new year. We're going to some uncharted waters. So what I would like to do is try to get you prepared. I want you to feel like when you go into this new year, you have some armor, that things are clicking on all cylinders. And so tune in. If you know someone who's in business or someone who's sitting at a crossroad, someone who's about to maybe retire from government, someone whose job is maybe on the line and they're uncertain of their future, we're going to talk about some things today that can help you get ready to secure your financial future. We're going to talk about franchising today. We're going to talk about the world of franchising. Everything you ever wanted to know about owning a franchise. And the reason I'm bringing this up today is because so many people have been approaching me lately asking about ways that they can secure themselves going forward. Some say, look, I'm not a business owner per se. I've worked in the government. I've got a nice little nest egg. Got me a 401k, a 403b sitting there on the side. But I'm not necessarily, I don't have the business expertise to start from scratch. Some people have come into money through inheritance. Some have hit the lottery. Some just have bootstrapped and saved up some money. So we're going to talk about how franchise is an option, and it may be one of the best-kept secrets out here as far as charting the path to a financial secure future, as far as building wealth, building some type of legacy, building job opportunities for your community, and others. So you definitely want to stay tuned for that. We also, later in the show, we're going to have Ms. Falashide. Matter of fact, she's joining us by phone. Good morning, Falashide.
Good morning, Robert. Thank you for having me again.
My pleasure. How are you this morning?
I can't complain on mommy duty. That's why I'm not up there with you.
Oh, mommy duty. Boy, mommy duty. You're always one step away from mommy duty at any given moment.
Yeah.
Give us a tease of what you're going to be talking about later on.
Well, Robert, I'm going to talk about why 82% of all small businesses fail. And it has something to do with end of the year, accounting and tax, but more importantly, cash flow management.
Wow. That sounds pretty serious.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hang on for that. Well, let's not, if you are tuning in for the first time, you want to stick around and make sure you get a Falasha Day's why 82% of the businesses fail. Man, that's a pretty startling number.
Yeah, according to the SBA, Robert.
Wow. All right. Well, that's good. That's kind of going to tighten what I'm talking about later on, too. Franchising and those same numbers bear themselves out, and why I have been encouraging people lately, particularly novice business owners who really don't have a big background in business, but they have a great idea or they have a passion, then to consider franchising as an option. And we're going to talk about that as we get later into the show, and feel free to chime in. The number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. You are listening to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show, and we are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. We are going on 7 years of broadcasting, and we've had a great run, and we continue to do so. And if you're sitting out there and you have a business, you're thinking about starting a business, and whatever your reasons for interest in business, this is a good business show. We talk about, the show is Marketing Pulpit by name, but we also cover business development in general, which includes marketing, and that's why we're going to talk about today some of the topics related to business development and marketing. And I'm going to talk about franchising later in this show and why you should consider franchising if you're thinking about getting into business and you're looking for something that has a high success rate. Some of the other things we're going to talk about today is some of these online shopping scams that seems to be, this time of year, a lot of people are going online and they're putting their faith on some of these websites and some of these emails they've received. And for people, I hate to say it, but some of our baby boomers who are kind of, let's say, not as technically savvy or as aware of some of the younger people who've probably seen some of these things before, but some people who are just really getting their kind of being introduced to the internet, they're easy pickings for some of these scams that are out here. And so,
yes, they are, Robert.
I mean, Spilosity, it amazes me. Every day I hear somebody talking about, well, nobody told me about this. Well, I'm going to give you some of the top ones today just for you to be aware. So when you go out here and you get some of this stuff in your email box, that don't be so quick to click. Hey, I have to hashtag that. Don't be so quick to click.
I like that.
Give me your hashtag. All right, the number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. Let me go over some of these scams real quick. So some of you folks out here can, one, you might save some money and you might not get your computer infected. There's all kind of perils waiting on people out here, courtesy of some of these popular online scams. The first one I'm going to talk about is the too good to be true coupons. Every day you open up your box, now there's a coupon from somebody. And you're saying to yourself, wow, man, this will be great. This will knock down on that Christmas bill I'm going to get at the end of the year when I do all this Christmas shopping. So they look at these coupons and they think Santa Claus has just been delivered into their mailbox. Well, folks, don't click so fast. Look for the red flags, including some of the misspellings. You might think it's from Outback, and they may be Outback or Out Black or Out something. So they kind of twist the name a little bit so it looks legitimate. They'll put the logo on there. But look up there in that URL. Look at the URL of the originating, of where it came from. And if it doesn't have that company's exact spelling in that URL, beware. Beware, beware. And when I say URL, that's the web address. Look up in your bar and make sure the spelling is the exact same. Like you see a lot of PayPal scams where they may have PayPayPal or PayPla.com. Be aware of those type of scams. So those URL trickeries, that's one good way to get you. Gift card scams. Everybody wants to give out gift cards this time of year. Beware of the gift card scam. You may get some people say, look, I will sell you a $25 gift card for only $10. That seems like a pretty good deal to most people until you realize it is a scam. So they're going to ask you for some personal information. And first of all, if it comes from a person, a friend, or a company, then you might just call them just to make sure that person sent you a gift card before you click on it and start trying to get that thing off. Because usually when you get it online, you got to go in and fill out some information. You just want to make sure that it actually is a real gift card. And I know everybody's gotten this one. the guy with the foreign accent who wants to fix your computer over the internet. He calls you, he or she calls and says, look, I've worked with Microsoft or some, they usually give you some legitimate company name, and they say, we have discovered that your computer has been infected. I need to get in there and look around to make sure that things are okay. So they get into your computer, and what they do, they plant virus and malware. Now they can take over your computer and get all your personal information. Next thing you know, they've taken over your computer and your identity. So be very aware of these remote computer repair scams. If they use the company's name, say, look, why don't you give me your number and I'll call you back. And then call that number, call that company of the name that they use to try to gain your trust. Another one is grant scams. You get a call from a very official-sounding government agency. This is Department of Education. This is Department of Housing and Urban Development. We have a grant. So what they do, they get this information from you. They pose it like they are a legitimate organization. Then they ask for a processing fee. Anybody out here doing nonprofits, and these guys are really hungry for grant money. And so they hear somebody like that calling from a legitimate government agency. Of course, they want to make sure they can take advantage of it. So, of course, the next thing you know, they've hit them for a $500,000, $600,000 processing fee. Find out that it's a bogus call. Another one is collection agency scam. Now, at this time of year, particularly, people are a little nervous to begin with. All of a sudden, some joker's calling you up saying, look, hey, that $200 that you didn't pay 2 years ago, then we need to get it today, or we're going to come in and hurt your credit or foreclose or come knock on your door, and they even use threats such as we're going to lock you up. Be very aware of that, because these crooks have actually gotten a hold of the actual credit list, so they can actually call somebody who actually has a legitimate debt. But make sure, if you're going to be sending them money, make sure, first of all, you might want to check with the debtor. You don't have to pay that agency. You can connect with that debtor directly and make sure that they have actually sent this person after you. Now, I know it's kind of hard to call somebody who you owe money to, but that's how they get you, because they know that you are not going to probably call the actual company. So just be very, very careful of that with these collection agency scams. We have the payday loan scam. Once again, people out here, they're scratching for cash, and they need some money. So all of a sudden, somebody said, look, we're going to lend you $600 just by going to this link, going to this website. A lot of times those are phishing websites. When I say phishing, it's P-H-I-S-I-N-G. And phishing usually means you get an email from some company that poses as a legitimate company, but they have some kind of bogus address attached to it. And the last one is the working from home scam, and we've all seen those. You're saying to yourself, man, wouldn't it be nice if I could just sit at home and let the money roll in? Well, this is probably one of the most popular ones out there. They usually say, we're going to let you stuff envelopes or you do some type of sending out mail or something like that. Well, what they do, they'll send you a check, usually more than what you actually work for. So let's say you did the work for $500 worth of work. They send you a check for, let's say, $800. Well, they tell you to go ahead and send them the $300 back, and they will send back the right check. And guess what? Now you got your $300, and then you find out the company's going out of business. Folks, those are some tips I want you to be aware of as we go into this holiday season and into 2017. And we're going to take a quick break. This is the Marketing Pulpit. I have a Philosoday on the phone. We come back, we're going to have Philosoday giving us some tips on finances and how to keep from failing in business. This is the Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break. Alright, this is the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We are saving businesses. We're saving jobs. We're saving our community. Now, if you have a business and you're thinking about going into business, this is the right show. I'd like to welcome all of the new listeners. If you've never listened to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show before, I'm going to forgive you. As long as you're here now, it's all good. It's all good. You should not have been missing this show. If you are a business owner or care about business, because we bring information that's really just, there's nothing else like it. If you miss some of the shows, go to marketingpulpit.com and just listen up on some of the shows. Last week we talked about buyer's remorse. And next week we're going to have Mr. Willie Jolly is going to be sitting in on the guest host seat. He's going to bring us some motivational tips to take us into 2017. So you definitely don't want to miss next week's show. Mr. Willie Jolly himself rated as one of the number one, if not the number one motivational speaker probably in the world. I mean, the guy really, really brings it. And I'm proud to have Willie as a friend of mine, and he will be joining me next week on the pulpit. Also, if you hear something that's not a scam, if you want to make some money going into 2017, and it's legitimate, all you need is a car, a driving license, and a good clean record, you can drive for Uber. Now, Uber provides an opportunity. Let's say you're driving home one day, and you're saying to yourself, man, I could sure use a quick $20. It is that easy. You turn on your app, and Uber alerts you that somebody in your neighborhood is looking for a ride. You swing by, you pick them up, boom. You are paid. And now they have that system now where you can actually take your money out every day. You don't have to wait till the end of the week or the end of the month. You can take that money out immediately and pay yourself right away. So we're glad to welcome Uber as one of our partners. Go to marketingpulpit.com and sign up to be an Uber driver, and you can get paid for just driving up and down the road, something that you're going to be doing anyway. If you have a regular job, you can do it when you get off. You can do it on the weekend. You could be at home sleeping and decide, wow, man, I could use a quick $30-$40. Jump in your car, turn on your app, and you get paid. It's that easy. Go to marketingpulpit.com and click on that banner on the right side that says Drive with Uber. You see a brother with his hands, thumbs up. He's probably getting paid right away. Click on that app and join and become an Uber driver. You can drive as often or as little as you like and get paid right away. So Uber is looking for some drivers. It's a great way to make some residual income. And all you bootstrappers out there, business owners, you're trying to get your business off the ground, and you need some side income coming in on a steady basis, there's a good way to do it right there by driving with Uber. Falashide, now you were telling me earlier. You were telling me earlier that 82% of businesses fail.
Yes, Robert.
Flash your day.
82.
That's a big,
according to the U.S. Bank, 82% of all small businesses fail due to poor cash management.
Wow. Well, you know, I've always said, I get you backing it up, I've always said cash is king, and if you're not managing that cash, it's not going to be king for very long. It'll be somebody else's.
Yeah, so I'm going to debunk a few myths here before we go into it.
Okay.
Most businesses perceive that making the sales mean that you actually have the money.
Mm-hmm.
That is wrong.
What?
For example, if a business owner wants to collect the payment via PayPal, the money isn't available right away. If you will have to transfer to your business account or use the PayPal debit card.
Hey, look, watch today. And I'm just going to tell you, I had a church a few years ago. This is my PayPal horror story. I had a church about a few years ago. I set up a PayPal account for them through their website. I told them how to work it. I said, okay, now this money doesn't go direct into your bank account right away. You got to transfer it.
Mm-hmm.
They contacted me a year later, pretty much like, where's my money? they looked at me sideways, like this guy done took my money. I said, look, I went in and logged into their PayPal account. I said, look, you got about $1,500 just sitting here. I mean, it really blew my mind. So Exhibit A.
Yes. But then to top on that, if the client was to basically say they dislike your services of some sort, PayPal is quick to reverse that transfer or that payment. So if you went and sent the money already and you didn't satisfy your customer, guess what? And if they report that to PayPal, the money is going to be reversed and you're going to have to pay it back. I've seen this happen on countless times, Robert, where we spend money before we even have it.
Right. So that means just because you have been paid and you go out here and give shoddy services or don't deliver on time, that money can be taken away just as quickly as it came in.
Exactly. Okay, so another myth that a lot of small business owners actually think is that when you make a profit, you're making money. And there's a distinct difference, Robert, between cash and profit.
Mm-hmm. Now tell the listeners about here. Break it down for them.
Yes, and the major difference is the accounting behind it, because the accounting accounts for everything. So the cash that you bring into your business should not be considered profit until you deduct all of your normal operating expenses.
Oh, yeah.
Which will be considered your rent and your utilities and your staff. Those are considered operating expenses. And your cash is not... Your profit is not necessarily what you have in your bank due to those unpaid expenses.
Yeah, I guess it depends on whether you're on a cash or accrual basis. That could really be, if you're on like an accrual basis, you could be sitting there with a pocket full of cash, but you have those outstanding payables that haven't hit yet, and that could wipe that out overnight.
Thank you, Robert. And so that ties back into spending money before we actually make it. Like, we have to now ask ourselves sometimes when the money hit our bank account, are we spending it right away, or are we assessing what we need to do to make more money?
Right. I like that.
Yeah. So now another thing, too, a lot of small businesses perceive that, oh, well, word is grand. How would I put this? Oh, such and such, they're going to buy my product or sign up for my service, and they bank on that, and they go and up-level their lifestyle. Mm. They go and spend the money anticipating this new deal, Robert, and guess what?
Preach.
2 weeks later, they get a discouraging email saying, oh, well, we cannot move forward.
Preach. Blah, day.
Yeah. And I've seen this happen so many times, Robert, and the owner is stuck. Stuck with additional expenses because they moved too fast, okay? They're then stuck because they up-level, got excited about this new contract or this new deal, so they went and bought a new car and did this and did that, and not focus on the deal at hand before they start to really spend.
Well, I'm going to have to amen this one, because in the course of my line of work, I would say at the beginning of the month, let's say if I took it on a monthly basis, beginning of the month, there are like 5 to 6 clients that have pretty much almost promised me in written in blood that, I mean, it's not a signed contract, but they give you the verbal agreement that, look, I'm definitely going to do this, Mr. Gatewood. You're the company for me. I heard you on the radio. I understand. I don't trust anybody but you. So let's go ahead and do this deal. So I'm sitting there. I've sent over the paperwork. Now, and some people, they take that as that's money in the bank. So what do they do?
Yeah.
They go out bringing a part-time worker to help do the work. They may start looking at that new office. They say, wow, now I can go ahead and give myself that raise, that car I was thinking about getting. This is going to be a big contract. Folks, until you get that money in your hand, and then even then, like you said, if it's PayPal money, if you don't deliver, it's still not even secured.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and it's gotten to the point where I really don't know what else to say to businesses, Robert, because they're doing it, and they're doing it discreetly. Mm-hmm. I have this deal, and they don't tell the accountant, they don't tell me until I check the QuickBooks, and I'm like, what are you doing? So another thing a lot of small business owners do not realize is that when you're trying to ante up and really grow your business, you have to have cash. Hmm. You have to have some money. You have to have some dough sitting there for you to reinvest. Okay?
Right.
So what I notice, and I'm going through the same brink right now, Robert, I'm spending more money to get above the 6 figures that I make now than what I get to get to the 6 figures that I'm at. Okay? So when you're trying to really grow your business at an up level and you know you want to grow, you have to plan this, folks, because you're going to need the money to back it.
That's right. You got to have
all of those
cash.
Right ideas that we have as small business owners, if we don't have the money to implement, that's where we can now kind of actually close out our business, shut it down. Because we're moving too fast. We're growing too fast. We don't have the capital to back up our growth. And then that's when the chaos began.
Hmm. Well, Blanche, I have my M's. I said you got to have mission, message, market, and money. to implement your
I
plan.
I like that.
If you don't have that money portion, I mean, I'm telling you, you can have the best mission and the best message, the best marketing laid out plan, but... And that's why one of the topics I'm going to come in the future is talk about bootstrapping. That's one of the ways, but other ways, of course, and I'll talk about some of those when we talk about the franchising, too. But there is no getting around the fact you have to capitalize these ideas. You can't just wish them into existence. You can't.
I wish, Robert. And then last but not least, cash flow isn't intuitive, okay? People perceive that just because you know the amount of money that you have in your bank account right now in your mind, that you're good. No, guys, you have to have the paper trail. You have to have the bookkeeping. You have to have the records. You have to have the financial statement. So while you're sitting there banking on a certain amount of money, your book is going to tell you, oh, no, that money isn't available because we have this outstanding invoice to be paid. This withdrawal is going to occur on this time. But I see this so often, and this is one of the main core reasons why businesses fail due to cash flow management. It's because the owner never wants to do the back-end accounting that is involved.
Hey, Felicia Day, I want you to hold that thought. We're going to finish up on the other side of the break, okay? So hang on a second. Folks, that's Felicia Day. She's bringing us these tips on why businesses failing this cash flow. Marketing Pulpit, we'll be right back after the break. I'd like to welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We're here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. Not trying to save your soul, but we are trying to save your business, trying to save your community, trying to save your job, trying to save your kid, trying to get them off the street, trying to build an infrastructure here in our community so that we can save it. Tired of everybody else's community passing us by. If there were another group to come to our community into the United States in the next 3 or 4 years, it's just a matter of time before they pass us too. What is wrong with that? But not if I have my way. I'm tired of it. I am here to do something about it. And I don't just talk either. I roll up my sleeves. I get down in the trenches with these business owners. I have a lot of folks out here in this listening audience who are clients of mine. And we have rolled up our sleeves and we have created some businesses, and many of them are very, very successful. Some are in their inception stages and just getting off the ground. Some are just thinking about their ideas and not even sure which way to go. So I am doing something about it. And the first thing you can do is listen to this show. You can go to marketingpulpit.com and listen to some of the past shows and find out what we are doing. You can go to Twitter. Go to Twitter and find at Marketing Pulpit, and you can follow us, and we'll keep you abreast of what's going to be the topics on the show. Like today, I tweeted out that Felicia Day was going to be here in the Money Zone. We also put it on our Facebook page. You can go to Facebook and follow us and like us on Facebook at that same moniker at Marketing Pulpit. So, folks, we are here trying to make our little impact in this big world. We're getting you ready for 2017, and a few we're going to start talking about franchises as an option. If you got a little money, got a little time on your hand, you really want to put a business together that's got a high success rate, we're going to talk about that. But we're talking about now the people that are already in business, and they're doing it. They're doing a couple of things wrong with this, how they're managing this money. Is that what you're saying there, Felicia Day?
Oh, yes, Robert. Yes.
But think about it, though. Just think of the logics of this. You're in business. Now, of course, you have your dreams and your passions and all that kind of stuff. But the ultimate objective is to make some money and some profit. And if you're not managing that, you are already behind the eight ball. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Yep.
So, Felicia,
you know,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to close it out with this one. And a lot of small business has perception that, oh, my business makes several hundred thousand, you know, I can always go get a bank loan. Let me clarify this to you. The bank hates continuity, okay? The bank hates surprises.
Yeah.
So do not think that relying on your ability to obtain a loan can save your business today. It cannot. Especially with Trump being in office, the bank, I guarantee you this, because I told my clients they can get line of credit, to go get them now. Mm-hmm. When you need it, because you didn't plan appropriately, it may not be there. Okay? So do not rely on the bank to save your business, especially with the transition right now, because they're not going to be lending. And this is a time where they always reevaluate their underwriting process to be able to prevent certain individuals from obtaining loans.
Preach, sister, so preach.
Yes.
Girl, you
so do not
you're
think that you're
today.
Making a certain amount that you can just go and roll up in a bank and throw your papers on the table and they're going to issue some money. You have to plan accordingly, guys. And this is why accounting is so important. And this is why 82% of all the small businesses fail, because they really aren't doing accounting, Robert.
But, Felicia, Day, you have got me out of the pulpit. I'm out here in the amen corner waving my hand. Wave my hand. How did old... I cannot say a word. Anyway, I'm out here waving my hand because you are absolutely right, and I appreciate it. And what I'm going to say, this is my Robert Gatewoodism. Folks, don't even try to figure this out. Get yourself some professional help. Call this sister. Let her look at those books. Let her put you on the right path, and do it before she's all booked up. I'm telling you, it's going to get busy here. If it hasn't gotten already overwhelmed, so give her a call. Give us your information, Felicia Day, so people can find out more about you and how to reach you.
Oh, well, Robert, if anyone want to reach out to me, definitely you can go and give me a call where, you know, I'm handy, I'm accessible. Give me a call at 202-618-1297. And you can go to my website, which is Accounting with Felicia Day, FOLASADE.com.
All right. Account, and this sister is good. I am speaking. This is the horse's mouth. Not because I look like a horse in their mouth. No, wait a minute. I mean, but somebody might even argue that. But my point is, this lady is good. She says what she's going to do. She does what she's going to say. And I appreciate her being here on the third Friday of every month. Felicia Day, thank you very much. Hang around. We're going to be talking about franchises. Feel free to jump in and amen. If you have to run, I understand that too. But I'm going to jump on this franchising, because a lot of things that you said, Felicia Day, actually applies to franchising. And I'm just going to get into franchising as a, just give you some franchising facts. Now, I've been a franchise consultant for many years. But now, recently, it has come back to the surface. About 5 years ago, I was doing it quite a bit. And, you know, I got into my client load got busy. I got into the government contracting. So my plate was full. But now, because of the demand, the people have been just knocking down the door. Every time I turn around, somebody's saying, hey, the Gatewood guy, he knows how to help you with a franchise. Well, I can, but I'm going to give you some biased information on this. Just general facts on franchising. First one is that franchises have a very high success rate. Very high. Really somewhere between 85 and 90%. That's really, really high for a business. If you're starting a business, I mean, everything has some risk. But if you can get in anything with a 90% success rate, it's definitely worth a look. And I've heard from many franchisors that the reason that 10% did not succeed because they did not follow the rules. Because that's one thing about franchise. They have a very tight system. Those systems are very, very tight. And if you follow those rules and you're willing to work hard. Now, franchise, you just can't walk in there and just write somebody a check and then just sit back and fold your arms. All right, let my money come on in because now I'm a franchise owner. You still have to work. You probably have to work harder. But there is so much satisfaction knowing that chop out there is yours. That you can bring in your kid and put them to work. You can hire your neighbor's kid, which is something that's sorely missing in our community. These companies come into our community, they'll buy a franchise, and you go in there, and they don't look anything like the community. What the heck is going on here?
But if America's Best, for example.
Yeah. But if you own the franchise, you can put in that franchise your people, your family, your people that you're going to help motivate and uplift. So that's one of the big right off the bat advantages. Now, why do they have this high success rate? I'm giving you some quick reasons. First of all is brand awareness. Now, I'm a branding guy. Branding, no matter what you have heard, branding is very important and is not cheap. Branding means you have to let people know what you are, what you stand for, your culture, your beliefs, your principles, your quality, how you treat your customers, how you're perceived, and that takes some time to build. So even though I have a lot of customers right now in the trenches that are not franchises, that brand building is a very, very pivotal part of their ultimate success. Franchising brings that into the door day one. There is no brand building necessary. So if you bring it in, if you go out and buy yourself a Subway, you don't have to go out here and build a brand. It's already there. Okay. The second reason why they are so successful is because it's a proven business model. Systems is what makes businesses successful. Systems that are in place, that model has been tested. In some cases, we talk about hundreds of years. Sometimes it's dozens of years. But whether it's 100 years or 10 years, the model has been tested. It's been proven because, taking a business from conception to become a franchise is a very long and lengthy process, and it's expensive. It's going to take about $100,000 to take your business idea and make it into a franchise. So you better have a successful business model. The other thing that before you can franchise your own business, it has to be profitable, and it has to have a brand. So when you get to a franchise, they've already crossed two very important hurdles, the branding, the trademarking, and it has to be a proven business model. Another reason franchises have such a high success rate is because of advertising. Most franchises advertise. They advertise on a national level, regional level, and sometimes on a local level. So the advertising of bringing customers in the door, and if it's not, sometimes you have to pay into that advertising. Sometimes it's co-op. But advertising is a part of the model. You cannot say, I'm going to start this franchise and not advertise. No matter who pays for it, advertising is part of the fabric of that franchise model. Another reason they're so successful, training. You have to go through the training process. Every legitimate franchise takes you through a training process. If it's a cleaning services, they show you what kind of cleaning supplies you need, how to schedule, how to train your workers, what kind of vehicles are necessary. If it's a restaurant, same thing. If it's a professional service, they take you through a very extensive training process. So if you have not had a background in that particular area, don't sweat that. They will train you, and you're not going to get the key to that shop until you have been trained. That is part of the process. Another reason of success for franchises, they have economies of scale. I've talked about economies of scale on this show many times. That simply means that the cost of goods, the cost of purchasing products, supplies, and things that are necessary to run a business are lower because they buy as a group. They have purchasing power. They pool their buying power. So what might cost a single business a dollar a unit, they can probably get it down to 60, 50 cents a unit, almost half the price because they're pooling their buying power. Another big reason why franchises succeed, they have lower cost. Another reason success, support. They have support. Usually there's somebody you can call, even though you think the buck stops with you. Now, this is like the best of both worlds. We like to think, the reason we go into business in the first place, because we like that independence to say, hey, this is where the buck stops. Well, the franchise, you actually have that, but there is another person you can call in case that buck is so big it knocks you over. So you can say, look, hey, this one, I need some help on this. So there's somebody at that franchise home office that can help you. They have probably seen every possible problem. So you do have that layer of support. And finally, we talked about this philosophy just a moment ago. It's easier to get financing for a franchise than a non-franchise. Matter of fact, some franchises are pre-SBA approved. That means they have been pre-approved by the SBA to get funding through the SBA loan program. Some are already veteran approved. So getting money for your business has been made easier by going the franchise route than the non-franchise route. So those are some of the benefits of a franchise. And we do have a caller on the phone before we go to break. Welcome to the Marketing Pulpit.
Hello, good morning. It's Charette. How are you?
Hey, Charette, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to tie in what you were saying in philosophy with the taxes, because when you have a franchise, how important is it for them to make sure that they're keeping their books straight?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's a good question, Sherratt. To be really honest with you, that's why the 10% fell, because they try to go against the system. So what they're supposed to do is, most franchises have their own dedicated bookkeeping company, mm-hmm. their dedicated tax preparer, because that individual has to be well-versed in, you know, how the book should look for that industry and what to look for. But when they go against the grain and try to do it on themselves, Sherratt, that's when the 10% fail. So it's really important that they stick to the system and the process and really manage the money, because the margins are really tight because of those additional royalties and marketing co-op fees that they're obligated to buy into.
That's right, because those fees, when you buy that franchise, even though you paid the franchise fee, you bought the franchise, there are other fees that you're going to pay ongoing. They call them royalty fees or whatever they call them. Part of that is for those ongoing support systems. And sometimes that means marketing. Sometimes that covers accounting. Sometimes that cover a variety of things. So we're going to take a quick break. Thanks for the call, Sherratt. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what are the steps in franchise ownership. This is the Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break. All right, people, if you know someone who's been thinking about owning a franchise and wondered how it worked, I know everybody has, that question has crossed your mind at some point. This is a show you want to tune in for. This last second is very important. If you happen to miss the first part, you can go to marketingpulpit.com later on and we'll have the whole show there. But this is a very important show today, because people are getting to the point now where they're wondering how they're going to survive under a President Trump or after President Trump has left. So franchise ownership is one of those few opportunities out here. I mean, the stock market sometimes goes crazy up and down. The real estate market is still pretty safe, but it fluctuates. But there's nothing like owning a successful business as far as freedom, as far as all the other benefits that come with owning a business. And some of the specific benefits of owning a franchise, and they are many. Let me give you some of those quick benefits of what some of those benefits of owning a franchise. Now, besides being independent, you're building wealth, generational wealth. You have something that you can pass on to that next generation. If you just come into the country and you don't want to, you're kind of struggling on where to plant your flag and how to get things started, it's a great opportunity for people coming into the country for the first time. You're looking for an additional stream of income. You have a company, you have a job right now, but you want to add an additional income, then you can actually buy an absentee ownership franchise. You're trying to build long-term equity, trying to stretch out that retirement income, and you're just trying to plain old enjoy the American dream. Franchise is a good path to that. Let me give you some basic qualifications of owning a franchise. It's not for everybody. As a matter of fact, when we talk about franchising, you don't just walk in one day to a franchisor or to a restaurant and say, hey, look, I want to buy one of these franchises. It's not quite that way. Really, you need a person to walk you through the process, and that's why I'm happy to help. As a matter of fact, you can go to Gatewood Franchises, and a lot of this information on franchising is on the website on the Gatewood Franchises, or go to Marketing Pulpit on the homepage. We have a banner right there. But in general, you need about somewhere between $10,000. That's probably the lowest part. The lowest part, we have one franchise, like American Cruise Planner. It's a travel agency franchise for about $10,500. That would get you into the franchising business if you just want to go the low threshold and something that's been a proven success model. American Express has a travel agency franchise called Cruise Planners. Costs $10,500. That would get you into the franchising world, particularly if you ever thought about getting into the travel agency business. But in general, you need about $50,000. About $50,000 would get you a good solid franchise, maybe between 30, but 50. If you got $50,000, you got a pretty good chance of landing yourself a good franchise. You're going to need a net worth. Now, that's one thing that a lot of people don't really are aware of, that you can't just have $1 million in the bank and be upside down. If you have $1 million in the bank, but you have $2,000 in liabilities, you have a negative net worth of $1 million. You can never buy a franchise. Most of the major franchises require at least a minimum of $50,000 in net worth. And if you're not sure how to do your net worth, get yourself a plain old piece of paper, put all your assets on one side, that's your cash, your stocks, your bonds, your cars, your houses, and then total that up. Then on the other side, put everything that you owe. You subtract one from the other. If it's a positive, that is your positive net worth. If it's a negative, you have negative net worth, and you need to work on that before you can buy a franchise. Another thing about franchising, why people can, you can relax a little bit when you buy a franchise, because there are franchising laws that are very protective of the buyer. When somebody has a franchise, if they are a legitimate franchise, they have jumped through some tremendous hoops to get that title. And there are about 8 states in the United States that are called registration states, and Maryland happens to be one, and Virginia. D.C. is not a registration state. That simply means that the franchising disclosure document, which is the FDD, is actually registered on the books of the state. That means the state is monitoring. Every time you make a change to that franchise disclosure document, you have to let the state know. So the state is monitoring these franchises, and they monitor them very hard in the state of Maryland and in the state of Virginia. So if you buy a franchise that's a legitimate franchise in the state of Maryland or Virginia, you have the government on your side. They pretty much have your back, so you can relax a little bit. Now, you still got to read that franchise disclosure document. Now, speaking of franchise disclosure document, that's a document that every franchisor has to provide the franchisee. It's a monster. It could be 100 pages long, but it has some valuable information in it. And I would do another show specifically talking about the franchise disclosure document. Talking about protection, as a matter of fact, if you are thinking about buying a franchise, you cannot even buy the franchise for 14 days after they give you that document. In other words, you can't get excited and say, wow, man, I really want this, so here's my check. No, the law says you got to wait 14 days before they can even accept your money. So the states are protecting people. So that's why franchises, another reason they have this high success rate, because the law is actually protecting you. So if you have, let's say you're sitting around, you've worked most of your career, you got $150,000 in the bank, and you can't live off that $150,000. I'm going to tell you that right now. When you retire, that's going to be gone in 5 years. So you got to find something. You got to find something to put that money into. Let's say you take $50,000 of it. You can take $50,000 of it out of that 401k and put it as a rollover. You can roll that money from your existing 401k and do what we call a 401k rollover into your new business and own stock in your business, and that money now is tax-free. So
yep.
There are ways that you can actually move from where you are now and start protecting yourself with a successful business. Now, if you have only $100,000, I wouldn't say take all $100,000 and put it into a franchise. Do it like any other type of investment. Diversify your portfolio. But part of that diversification can include a successful business, and some of the franchises do offer what we call absentee ownership. Now, some will require that the owner has to be there, but there are others that don't. And that's why you need a franchise consultant like myself that actually walks you through this whole process. It's very complicated, but once you do it, and franchises are awarded. Let me emphasize that. You can't just assume because you have money and you want a franchise, you can get a franchise. There are so many things that can disqualify you. You may go to the wrong place. You may have the wrong, you end up looking at the wrong industry. You may have looked at the wrong types of financing. There are so many stars that have to line up. That's why they call franchises, they are awarded. You don't go buy a franchise. You express an interest. If you qualify, you can be awarded. That's why when somebody is awarded a franchise, it is news. It makes the newspaper because it's a big deal. But you still need somebody like myself to walk you through this. On the little time I have left, I'm going to give you some of the steps in getting the franchise. Now, first thing you want to do is talk to a consultant, somebody like myself. You can run yourself ragged. Run yourself ragged trying to go through all these steps yourself. Matter of fact, it's almost impossible. I get people call me after the fact. Well, I've already talked to the visiting angels. I talked to the Merry Maids. I talked to this place and that place. I don't know what to do now. Well, you need to talk to somebody before you start making all those phone calls. And you can go to my website, go to Marketing Pulpit. There's a banner at the top. You can go to Gatewood Marketing. You go to Gatewood Franchises and go through, look at those franchises. They have the prices. You can do a search on the type of franchise. You can put in the type of money you're willing to invest. You can type on one that are SBA approved, one that are veterans approved financing. So we have those tools on the website. So the first thing you do, you contact a guy like myself. You make an appointment. Then what we do, we sit down and talk to you and research. There are over 2,000 franchises out here. We have about 400 under that we actually represent. My company actually represents personally. So then we do the research, and then we come back to you and say, look, based on what you, the information you gave me, here are some franchises I think would be a good fit for what you're trying to do based on your finances, based on your interests, based on the territories that are available, because every territory is not available. You might like that Visiting Angels over in Northern Virginia, but that territory may be taken. So what we may do is look at a different type of service, or we may have to come across the bridge and find you something in a different territory. Then as a step, we'll be introduce you to the franchisor. These guys aren't just sitting there waiting on your call. They're going through a guy like myself. We actually make that call for you and set up a face-to-face, I mean, usually a telephone conversation where you're actually talking to the franchisor. If everything gels, and we do a qualification also, we do a net worth qualification before we get to that step, because I'm not going to be introducing you to this franchisor if you're upside down in your money. So if your money's funny, we're going to get that straight first. Now, once that introduction has been made, then they will give you the FDD. If you don't know anything else about franchising, you need to be familiar with the term FDD, which is a franchise disclosure document. It's a very, very long document, but you only usually get that once you've gone through the qualification. They're not just going to email you that just because you asked for it. It's a qualification process. Now, once you've got that franchise disclosure document, you can actually call some of the people that have success, that have franchises that are owned by that franchisor. You can call, go down the list and say, look, hey, I'm thinking about owning this Merry Maid or this Visiting Angels, so I want to know how it has worked out for you. Then consult with an attorney, an accountant, philosopher, or an advisor, somebody that understands how money and the law works. Once you've done that, they will invite you to a discovery day. That's where you will actually go out to the franchisor's location, and they will walk you through it. They'll bring in some of the other franchise owners. And then after you've gone through that, all of those steps, then you have to make a decision. You make a decision of whether or not that franchise is right for you. Folks, those are the steps. We're going to do a part two next week on franchise. I'm going to talk about the franchise disclosure document and some other things relating to franchises. And also, folks, go to Marketing Pulpit or go to Gatewood Franchises and look at some of the franchises that are available and just do a search. And if you like one you see, just fill out the little form. It will come to me, and then we can set up a meeting and talk about what it takes to get you into a franchise. Folks, don't forget to support our sponsor, BLE Executive Suites, at BLEsuites.com. If you're looking for an office location, and go there, look at something, do a free walkthrough with Miss Bernadette Clay. She'll be glad to get you into a new office for 2017. Next week, we're going to have Willie Jolly joining us on the Marketing Pulpit. Thank you, Falasha Day, for your valuable information as always. And if you want to be successful, you got to do these three things. Do the right thing at the right time, and you got to do it right.
Team 50 WR.